I mentioned to you that the Jews of France, the Bali Tosfos, in the face of the persecutions of the First and Second Crusade, many of them emigrated to England, and that thriving Jewish communities in the 12th century existed in London and in York, in Norwich, in Lynn, in Stamford, and that there were about 25,000 Jews who lived in England in the 12th century, and that these Jews established themselves very well. They found financial protection for their enterprises through the king and through the barons, and they found a fairly hospitable climate, because England had been conquered by the Normans, by the Frenchmen, and the kings of England were in reality Frenchmen, and even though they spoke English, they spoke French as well. And as we will see, from during the entire period of time, the 1100s, the 1200s, the 1300s, kings of England claimed to be kings of France as well, and kings of France claimed to be kings of England as well, and that the only way they achieved temporary peace was by intermarriage. The King of England, the Prince of Wales, married the daughter of the King of France, and that allegedly brought about a period of peace, but instead of doing that, it only intensified the rivalry as to the throne. When we discuss the 14th century, we'll discuss the Hundred Years' War, which is a war between England and France that lasted a century. Constant war for a century in which the English kings attempted to acquire France, and the French kings attempted to invade England. This, by the way, laid the groundwork for the competition between England and France, which is a great deal of European history, occupies a great deal of European history, that contest. And the contest is still not over, even though it, albeit it no longer is in the form that it once was. But de Gaulle, for instance, in our time, vetoed England's entrance into the common market because he did not want England in Europe. England has always attempted at one and the same time to be in Europe and dominate it, and yet to be outside of Europe and not be involved in the continental internecine struggles which exist. So you have this problem that England always sees itself as in control of France, and because of that, a great deal of resentment and war occurs. But as far as the Jews were concerned, the Jews were able to escape from France to England after the First Crusade in 1096, and after the Second Crusade in 1146, they were able to escape to England and to find a hospitable rest for themselves there because of this relationship between France and England. And as I told you last time, the Jews in England established not only synagogues, but great houses of learning. The Bali Tosfos, we have the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, the Tosfos written by the wise men of England, by the Talmudic scholars. And it looked like England was going to be a haven for Jews. It looked very attractive. It will all turn out to be nothing because of a series of events that no one could have foreseen, which oftentimes happens in human history, certainly in Jewish history, that what looks like it's going to happen rarely does. And what looks good turns out bad, and many times what looks to be problematical turns out to be the more successful road of the two. In any event, as I discussed last time, in 1177, Salah ad-Din, the Sultan of Egypt, the great warrior on behalf of the Muslims, and the Sultan for whom the Rambam was the doctor in his famous position in the palace,